A warm welcome to all those of you listening in from far, those of you on the internet. A warm welcome once again to the place where God has placed his name. You should be here, but we will carry on in spite of your non-presence. And of course, especially those who are in Jersey who are streaming the service here today. God has promised a blessing. We're two and three are gathered together in his name. And it looks like more than two or three. So we're delighted that you're in tune with us and similarly in tune with God. I was saying that there seemed to be a tie-in between what the sermonette was and what we are doing here today. Let's see how real this is. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, beginning at verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and says, return, O children of men, for a thousand years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which grows up. In the morning it's nourished and grows up. In the evening it is cast down and withered. For we are consumed by your anger and your wrath. We are troubled. There was set our iniquities before you, or secret sins in the light of your countenance. This entire psalm is rich, yea, pregnant with truth that God needs expressed. Today my subject is simply God and time. God and time. I did not say time and God, because as the sermon had said, professors and great thinkers like to think that somehow time was here before God. But in our understanding of the God we serve, God created time, yes, and God created man. God expects man to live as though he is living in God's time, because God is an eternal being. But yet we are trapped. We are chained. We must live in time. God created time for himself. Really? And also for man. Why would God need time? Because man lives in time, God has got to keep his mind on man who lives in time. And guess what? God expects man to keep his mind on God. Hence, subject, God and time. We remember the Exodus 20 and 8, which says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Why did God say to them, remember? Because remember, they were in Egypt for many, many years. And they were forced by the Pharaoh to do whatever he wanted. So it is likely they forgot about God's time. God had to remind them, there is something called the Sabbath. God put in the skies on the fourth day the sun. Isn't it amazing? The sun is the one that tells us about time. And he made the moon to shine by night. And he says, they said, Moses, he made the stars also. So God put these bodies where they are because they tell us the time. God, therefore, is the author and the finisher of time. Now, the Sabbath. You realize that that is a period of time. The Sabbath is a period of time. That is why those who worship on Sunday are not in sync with God's time. There is a reason, therefore, why God made the Sabbath the way he did. It occupies a period of time. Could you imagine what it is to be outside of God's timing? So God calls upon us to remember the time that he will be waiting for us on the Sabbath day. In Exodus 12, listen to this wording. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. This you know, for we refer to this annually as we observe with regularity God's Passover. Hear how God tells Moses to express this sentiment. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, God used the word month. Month bespeaks time, doesn't it? This month, shall be unto you the beginning. Also, God's month, God here does not begin in January. January is Roman calendar. That's why God says to Moses, this month, Abib, to use the Hebrew term, this month shall be the beginning of months unto you. So we are not crazy, therefore, when we, God's people, begin our year. I hate to hear people say, oh, you mean the Jewish year? Could I dare say that this had nothing to do with the Jews? I know that might be stunning, but it is the truth. God is saying to Moses, Moses was not a Jew. He was a Levite. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And if you're going to have a beginning of months, God must have a year in mind. The beginning of months. We keep Passover with the Feast of Tabernacles. All of those times have been arranged by God, hence the subject, God and time. Do they come together? We know that God created them, and he created them for us. God had us in mind. Why does God need time? He has to keep man on his mind, because God, man lives in a different element than God. So unless God, as the sermonette was saying, unless God takes care of time, things will go haywire. But because God is mindful, man lives on planet Earth. And God made the earth. God has got to be aware of the conditions in which mankind can live and take care of man while he is on the earth. The Sabbath, therefore, is a set time. And God expects man to worship him. Always, yes, but in Sabbath time. The Passover, as we will see and as we know, was at a particular time. It didn't happen haphazardly. It was at a particular time. How do I know this? Luke 22, verse 14. Imagine Luke said, and when the hour, that's time too. And when the hour was come, Jesus stood up and called the Passover together. Brethren, nothing that happens is without the timing of God. And you will see that as we continue in this message. Luke, in chapter 1, I have quite a couple of scriptures I want to bring to you today. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Let us see how Luke begins this treatise. For he uses that term there in Luke. The book of Luke and the book of Acts have correlation, because Luke is also the author of the book of Acts. So, therefore, there must be correlation. The same author, he must know what he is doing. Luke chapter 1. I know it was in the Bible this morning when I looked for it. It must be in here. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. This man sounds like a human being, doesn't he? He isn't writing off someplace. He's talking about the things that concern us. Even they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, O most excellent Theophilus. If you look at the book of Acts, you would see that the very Luke who writes this book addresses the same personality. That's how we find out that it is the same author of both books. Verse 4. That you might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So Luke is fully aware here of what time has to do with everything. Turn to the book of Titus. Titus follows 2 Timothy. And let's see what we can glean from this and time. Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 through verse. Let's see how far down we go. Paul, the servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in the last times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, God's mercy and peace, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we see here that it's all a part of one mosaic. It is all God's doing. And God knows exactly what he is doing. Time and God. Was time involved when God thought of salvation for mankind? Or did it all just hodgepodge, somehow came together? Did the Romans felt, oh, this is a good day in which to crucify that guy? Or was it all in coordination with God's plan? I assume you know what Galatians 4 and 4 says. If you don't, it would be a good thing for us to turn there and see what Paul the Apostle, who seems to be cooperating with God, says about time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Does time, or did the time, have anything to do with God's salvation plan? Verse 4. And when the fullness of what? Ah, there's that word. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So it didn't happen spasmodically then. It happened when the fullness of the time was come. Jesus didn't say, you know what, guys, you better crucify me today. No. God had allocated a certain time when these events should begin and when it was right for them to take place. So time is important to God. God and time. Did Jesus one day say, oh, you know what, I better begin my ministry today. I waited long enough. I think it's time that I begin my ministry. What the time and ye timing have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ? Dare I say everything? Mark chapter 1. You know this scripture, and you know it well, because this has been the sequence that the United Church of God used and is still using for the Kingdom of God series. Listen to the words of Luke concerning time. Verse 14. Yeah, I knew you'd know the scripture. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. There's a whole lot of talk about the gospel of salvation. Mark says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time. Did you see that in there? Jesus knew precisely when God wanted him to begin his ministry. He said, the time is fulfilled. I must begin now. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. So, time had to do with the precise beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry. So Paul said in Galatians 4 and 4 that when the time was come, or at the right time, God had decided to send Jesus Christ into the world for the salvation of mankind. So, when the fullness of the time was come, and Jesus came saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. So that God does have something to do then with time. Time does not just exist by itself. God spoke it into being. And so time and God are most appropriate. What about Pentecost? Did Pentecost have something to do with time? Or did it just occur that these people were assembled in Jerusalem and they didn't know why they were there? And somehow, all of a sudden, something happened that they couldn't account for. Acts. This book is entitled The Acts of the Apostles. That's not the name. It should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because there are only two apostles that are dominant in the book of Acts. And they are Peter and Paul. So then, what does it say in Acts 2 concerning time? Let's take a look. Verse 1. And when? The day. Day has to do with time, doesn't it? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Wasn't a minute before. Because man is so screwed up that he begins his day at midnight. And 1 minute after midnight is, oh, today's a new day. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and you know the rest of the story, they were all with one accord. Oh, they had accords in those days? I wonder if they had Cadillacs too. They were all of one accord. In one place, they weren't scattered. Some weren't in Galilee and some were somewhere else. They came annually, as we do, to celebrate Pentecost. When that day was fully come, they were together. And suddenly, to the right it was suddenly, but God knew when to send that wind. God knew when to do what he had to do on that given day. When that day for us comes, we celebrate it with a service right here on behalf of Almighty God. So, we see then that the salvation of man, which God originated, began on time, we see that Jesus Christ began his ministry on time. We see that God did not send his Spirit on the wrong day. For Luke records when that day was fully come, God sent the Holy Spirit to begin living not only among us, but in us. So it is our responsibility, brethren, to seek from God the occupation of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, Jesus was real. Jesus had given all of the holy days as expressed in Leviticus 23. So he who made time keeps time. He who made time keeps time. A couple of weeks ago, there was a scandal here in New York, where it was noised abroad that the mayor always comes late to his appointments. And they were badgering him with being late. I think he was even late to a police funeral one time. You can imagine how that looked. And so, when the Feast of Tabernacles had come, you can follow this in John chapter 7, the Feast of Tabernacles had come, as it does, hasn't stopped, and it will continue until Christ comes back, because Christ instituted the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast had come, and Jerusalem was in a hubbub, because they had to go to the Feast. They didn't know why they had to keep the feast. But they had to do it because it was to them a tradition. John chapter 7. And Christ's brethren who kept a straight eye on him because he said he's the Messiah. And they kidded with him concerning it is the feast time. And they said, aren't you going to the feast? You know how people like to kid with us. Oh, this is your Sabbath. Our Sabbath is tomorrow. And they said to Jesus, it's time to go up to the feast, isn't it? Notice Christ was sharp with his tongue. He knew what to say and when to say it. Look at verse 6 and see how on point Jesus Christ was. And Jesus said, verse 6, and Jesus said unto them, because they had said, aren't you going up to the feast? Note the poignancy of his words. My time has not yet come. My time. I know when I'm going to go up to the feast. Leave me alone. What does verse 30 also say? Verse 30 of the same chapter. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hand on him, because his hour was not yet come. Brethren, God, the creator of time, does nothing out of time. Everything has got to be precise. So when you come late to service, God sees it. But he sees the precision with which you get to work so you can get your full week's pay. I went late to my job one day. I guess I must have done it more than once. Not intentionally. But as they got to the clock to time in, one of the big bosses was standing right there. He said, "Oh, weren't you late?" I wasn't a half an hour late. Because I lived in Queens and my job was in Queens. I might have been about 3 minutes late. But to him, and rightly so, I was late. The point is, Pentecost occurred on time. God never makes a mistake. I'm one day, oh man, I meant to do it tomorrow. Jesus said, "My time is not yet come." The question for scientists and for great thinkers and these philosophers, as the Sermonette man said, who like to think they know everything. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 10. And let's see if we can get what is being said here. And above getting, let's see if we can understand what is said here in Revelation 10, beginning at verse 1. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud." Get this painting of the picture here by John, who had this revelation. "And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Get the imagery. Get what John, in this state of being transfixed, was trying to express. That the words he could muster and express them. Verse 2. "And he had in his hand a little book opened." "And he sat. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." How clearly this man, entranced with the truth of God, is expressing himself. Because he, and above that, God wants us to get this graphic imagery. Verse 3. "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars." He can remember exactly what he wants to say. "And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." You can actually hear them. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." Don't write at this stage, John. Wait a minute. I have more to say. Verse 5. "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven." He wants you to get every aspect of what he was beholding. Verse 6. "And swore by him that lives forever and ever, who covered, created heaven and earth, the things therein, and the earth, and the things therein that are therein, the sea, and the things which are therein, that there shall be." What's the next word? "That time shall be no more." In other words, God, who created time through Jesus Christ, says that there will come a time when time shall be no more. We have been given time, brethren, and all we can do is live within time. And do so as God sees fit and best. Because if we understand it, there will come a time when time shall be no more. In the book of Jude, Jude is before Revelation. How did Jude deal with time? Jude, in being smart, I can say, look at Jude, chapter 14. But you know that Jude does not have 14 chapters. Jude has one chapter. It is called in my Bible a doxology. No wonder hymn. Many ministers use this when they're giving a prayer, especially a benediction or a closing prayer. It sounds and seems so appropriate. No wonder hymn that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So Jude is aware that the greatness of God is to be upheld, and that it will be upheld. Let's go back to Psalm, the middle of the Bible. Let's look at Psalm 41 first. It's in here. I'm looking for verse 13, which is the last verse of the particular psalm. Psalm 41 and verse 13. Bless be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Because we have already established that God is an eternal being. Still in Psalms. Psalm 146. No, there are 150 Psalms. It's pretty near the back of the book of Psalms. What did the psalmist have to say? Psalm 146. It's verse 10. Again, the last verse of this particular psalm. Then the Lord shall reign forever, that's eternity, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise the Lord. So God is reigning now. God will reign for all generations because he is the mighty God. The beginning of and the end of all things. So brethren, time did not happen by itself. Time is an investment and an invention of God. No wonder the angel said in Revelation 10, the time will be no more. Because God has set a time for the Sabbath. God has set a time for the return of Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen haphazardly. Remind me of the 10 virgins. They had been invited to come to the wedding, as have we. They got there well in advance of time. They were waiting for the wedding to take place. Their lamps were burning, providing light for where they sat. They were comfortable. They were expectant. They were, in effect, ready, so it seems. But suddenly, their lamps began flickering. What could that mean? Oh, we don't have enough oil in our lamps. Okay, you know what? We better go get some. But you know, I have noted that the Bible doesn't tell us if they got. Where would they get it from? God is the dispenser of oil. And while they were away getting their precious oil, guess what happened? The bridegroom came. And Matthew says, they who were ready, are we ready? They that were ready went in. And it says something strange again, like it said in Genesis chapter 6, the story of Noah. In Genesis 6 it says, when all who were supposed to be in, God shut the door. Noah didn't go and say, oh, let me pull in this big door. God closed the door. That's imagery as to what God will do when he says, time shall be no more. God will take the action. You see that ad in television where the woman comes to the bank late as the guy is closing up. She said, wait a minute, listen, this is going to be short. By that time he closed the door and he said, I can't hear you. Did you say that you're going to be short? How can you say that if you close the door? But of course, power of advertising. She said, this is not going to be long. I'm going to be short. I can't hear you what you said. Advertising is a powerful means of getting over. That's why they have something called truth in advertising. But anyway, he turned her away and she said, all right, thank you very much. Because timing is everything. That's what Hollywood tells us. When the virgins came back to finish the story of Matthew 25, they found the door shut. And they were annoyed. Here we are in our fancy regalia. You cannot turn us away. You know what it costs me to get my hair done? Dealing with virgins, so they must have been women. I mean, the door is shut. Open that door. I want to come in. And they ranted and they railed with their pretty attire. And a voice didn't say the door was cracked. It didn't say the bridegroom went and said, I'm sorry. Like, as in the advertising, they said in Matthew 25, a voice came from within and said, go away. Yeah, but we have tickets for this occasion. We are invited guests. And my wife and I were celebrating our anniversary a couple of days ago down in Georgia. We were invited to a dinner dance. We had tickets. We went. We had fun. Bad as my toe was, I did the electric slide. And all the other things that the music provided. Because we were invited guests. So the voice came from within and said, sorry, we can't help you. And the story ends just about there. We can only imagine graphically what they suffered and what they went through. Brethren, That's an illustration of what it is like to not be at the right place at the right time. God's service begins here at 11, except if it's a snow day. We might begin late, or we might have no service at all. But God expects us to be here and standing proudly and singing when the song leader says, and our first hymn is X, Y, Z. The Sabbath, Christ's coming, the day of Pentecost, they were all convened on time. Oh, whose time is it? God is counting on you to be in place when his time comes. Brethren, God still keeps time. And he expects us to keep time because he is the creator and the moderator of time. My grandmother, fine old lady, she helped in raising me. I grew up with her to a degree. She used to put me in suits, little fella. She had a statement she used to make. When we misbehave, she used to say, and how poignant is it? How apropos? What did she say? Time will tell. Brethren, let us internalize these truths, and let us therefore remember the time will tell.